I see somebody keying up. I hear no audio on that. KCAPSU, portable.
KFADNF, monitoring.
The SU on Northern Michigan Link.
We've got, realistically, we've got like four choices to get on the same network. They're all VHF, and they're all somewhat overlapping. Not completely, but somewhat. I mean, the south end of the coverage for the 1-9 is beyond the overreach or beyond the overlap of the, certainly the 1-1 and even the 7-4. So, I'm not even using a permanent install here. You know, for the longest time I was just using a 5-watt HT. All I did is I grabbed one of my spare radios, which is a Kenwood's TM701 dual bander. It's pretty old, but works just fine. And I stuck it in here with a magnet mount quarter wave, so I at least have some normal output. I'm kind of halfway transitioning between vehicles, and I haven't made the real transition yet, but I'm kind of working on it. So, but we've got two camping trips planned. One is Tuesday, and then we're home on the weekend, and then we leave again the following Wednesday. So I'm trying to get all the honeydews and odds and ends done before we got to go.
Cool. Where do you guys like to camp? Are you state parkers or private campgrounds or a little bit more rustic in nature?
No, normally we are state parkers. We've had pretty good experiences at all the state parks with two minor exceptions. One was at Straits the end of last season, and it was just because we of our choice of campsites, and it didn't really work out well for us. And then the other one was just here a month or so ago when I made the mistake of picking the South Higgins Lake Party Park when I didn't really realize what I was getting myself into. But other than that, you know, we've done a few private campgrounds with okay luck. No real complaints. These two trips are both private, one in the UP and the other south of Traverse.
I didn't know that South Higgins Lake was had a reputation of being a party spot. Growing up as a kid, we would spend 2 weeks at North Higgins Lake every year while my dad was busy doing National Guard commitments every summer. Some fond memories of romping around at North Higgins Lake State Park with my brothers, doing our damnedest to get in as much trouble as possible.
Well, the difference between North and South is very stark, very, very dramatic. And it's my fault. You know, I just didn't do the research. The South Park, first off, it's enormous. It's, you know, 300-plus campsites, a very popular day-use beach that's, you know, not just the campers, but everybody for miles around. There is a camp store that's pretty big, pretty well-stocked, you know, popping pizza and ice cream and water novelties and that kind of stuff. But it was way too crowded for us, and we were there, you know, we got there, I think, on a Friday and left on a Tuesday, and the Monday and the Tuesday were just fine, but the weekend, oh my God. But, you know, I mean, I'm old and crabby, and I don't have a lot of patience, and we have two big dogs, and the dogs were annoyed by, you know, all the millions of kids riding by on bikes, and, you know, and I mean, it's to be expected, but we've just been fortunate to where we've done early and late season camping, and we've also been fortunate to pick sites that are sort of off the beaten path. So my one dog is extremely vocal, and it's all you got to do is, you know, be within her sight, and she's losing her mind.
Yeah, I was telling my wife today on our way through town, we went out, go out for Sunday fun day every week, grab a burger and a beer, and try to find some place that's a little bit off the beaten path when we do that, try to patronize one of the local eateries in the area every Sunday. But, I was telling her, remember when we used to go out every every weekend after Labor Day, and the weather would be fantastic, and the campgrounds would be empty. And Labor Day weekend, the last several years, has just been so crappy for weather. I feel kind of bad for the folks that are trying to get one last hurrah in before they got to take their kids back to school and all of that. So, looks like things might be kind of decent for you next week.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be almost 80 here, and not much different up north. So, and you know, we're not really fair weather campers. I'm very, I'm the last guy to pull the boat out. I'm the last guy to winterize the camper. We've been out in October. We've done Halloween stuff. We've even been out in early November, as long as, you know, it doesn't get super cold. You know, I'm below freezing doesn't bother me. A hard freeze, that's another story. But I'm taking the long way home back to Charlevoix in search of cheaper gas. When I was here the other day, there was a couple of gas stations that were in the low $3 when everybody else, and I mean everybody else, was $3.49. So I'm going to go look at the same places to see if the status quo remains.
Well, if you don't find it in Charlevoix, don't bother looking in Petoskey. Everything here is $3.49 or worse.
Yeah, and that's, I don't understand. You know, nationally they're saying that it's the lowest Labor Day gas prices in I don't know how many years, 5, 7, something like that. But Michigan must not have gotten the memo.
Been better off driving over to Gaylord and taking I-75 home. I was there a couple weeks ago and got it for $2.99.
Yeah, I was there yesterday. And it's the best I saw was like $3.35.
Yeah, they F you at the drive-thru up here, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's, again, I don't understand, you know. I truly don't. I don't understand how there can be such a ridiculous difference from one town to the next, one county to the next, you know. It's just, I just don't get it. But the good news is that downtown Charlevoix is pretty dead today.
That surprises me, because downtown Petoskey today was not. Big streams of long lines of traffic, bike paths full of runners, joggers, walkers, bikers. Pretty healthy Labor Day weekend economy going on in this area.
Well, and I mean, there's your typical downtown slowdowns, but they're not backed up at all. You know, I came off of 66, and there was no traffic at all. So, you know, there must have been some sort of organized bicycle thing up here yesterday. We went to Sheboygan in the morning to go to the farmer's market. And on the way back, there were so many bikes on 27 and around 27. It couldn't have just been coincidence there. There had to be something going on. WHRPM mobile.
KFA-ENF. Isn't the Dalmac on Labor Day weekend that ride that goes from Lansing up to Mackinac City?
It could be. It could be the MD, or MS, the MS bike-a-thon was last weekend, because I know the guys that do the communications for that. But it might be, that could be what we were seeing. It was just, again, just far, far too many for it to be random.
Without gear. I know the Dalmac is a SAG event where they have a group of vans that take all of your overnight stuff and take it from high school gym to high school gym where each ride stops and ends, so that you have all of your stuff waiting for you when you get there. That might be another indicator.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that was it. That was absolutely it, because I did see that. Didn't realize what that is. What's it stand for?
It's named after a guy, I think, that did the ride for a charity event. And then Lansing to Mackinac is the last part of the acronym. I don't remember what the guy's name was, the Dalmac. It's been an event that's been running for something like 50 years. And, I've never done it. Not my cup of tea. I don't like riding a bike with, you know, thousands of my closest friends. I got caught up in the Zootamac once, riding up 119, the Tunnel of Trees, and we'll never do that again.
There is no room for two cars, let alone bicycles. And what annoys me there is that they don't paint a sign. I don't understand that. I don't understand why they don't paint a center line, even just as a point of reference. But, yeah, my former father-in-law was into that stuff. He did a lot of it in his younger days. I mean, the younger meaning, you know, 50s and 60s. He's pushing 90 now, and I don't think he rides at all anymore. And, you know, I rode when I was younger. I had a fairly decent road bike. I still have it, but it's a road bike. And I'm old, so I don't ride it much. But almost all of my friends have moved on to the electrics or the hybrids, fat tire bikes, you know, off-road bikes, trail bikes. I have absolutely no desire to trail ride on anything other than something, you know, level and groomed. But maybe one day when I have more disposable income, I'll buy myself a new bicycle. I would say I'm much more likely to buy a new motorcycle before I buy a new pedal-powered bicycle, even a motor-assist one. But so I made it through the little bottleneck at the bridge, and now there's no traffic again, so I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, I sold my road bike, I think just last year. I hadn't ridden it for a few years, had too many close calls out on the roads. Even though I would ride early in the season and late in the season and avoid the summer traffic, just wasn't digging it anymore, had too many close calls. I've been a mountain biker for years and years and years. Much prefer playing in the woods with the trees than with cars on the roads, so finally sold it. But a few years back, I had a buddy of mine build me, he's a custom frame builder. He built me a really nice steel-framed adventure bike, which is essentially a mountain bike geometry frame that's stretched out and measured exactly for me, so it's a lot more comfortable on longer rides, but it still has heavier-duty, wider tires, more mountain bike type, not fat bike tires. And it's fitted out with racks, so you can carry all of your camping gear on it. And I've done a couple of trips. I rode from Alpena to Indian River on the Northeast State Trail. I've done the Northwest State Trail and the North Central State Trail up through Sheboygan and Mackinac. And that's just a really, really nice, fun way to get out and ride and camp and stop into towns and have burgers and beers and really an easy way to enjoy putting miles down.
That couldn't possibly be a one-dayer, because that's like 80 miles, right?
Well, so last year, the trip that I did, we started in Gaylord. We rode to Indian River, essentially, and camped at a spot where we weren't supposed to camp, right next to the sign that said no camping. And the next day we rode, actually not Indian River, it was Wolverine. Next day we got up and we rode up to Mackinac City and camped on French Farm Lake. And the last day we rode from there into Petoskey. Finished up at the brewery with burgers and beers.
Yeah, so there's a state forest campground, Hackwood, I think, in Wolverine. I'm familiar with where the North Central Trail, or I'm sorry, the North Country Trail goes by French Farm Lake. I don't know if I told you, my other half is the secretary for the Harbor Springs chapter of the North Country Trail Association. We've got kind of personal responsibility for a couple of miles of section over by, kind of over by Pleasant View Road there. But it's not back to what it should be from the ice storm. There are parts of it that are not open at all because the Park Service and the DNR have not cleared all the tree fall yet. They won't even open it to the public or even open it to the certified sawyers in the group. So maybe next year. But that is one good thing, though, about this area is you have so many choices for that kind of stuff. But, I do that Alpena to Indian River run quite a bit, you know, just right down 68 or 68 to 33 to 32, and that's got to be 80, 85 miles.
Trail. I rode that from Alpena to, what's the state park campground on Burt Lake there? Burt Lake State Park? Not Burt Lake State Park. I rode that once from Alpena over to Sheboygan, and then the next day, Sheboygan down to Petoskey. That was a pretty good ride. Curious who your other half is, because I'm one of the certified sawyers on the Harbor Springs chapter of the North Country Trail Association, and we've been busy all summer long getting as much done as we can. Our chapter handles 46 miles, I think, from Harbor Springs up to Mack City, and our challenge right now is all the pine plantations that are along that route. We've cleared everything but those pine plantations just because they're being salvaged by timber companies, and they are just an absolute mess. And once those timber companies are out of there, we're going to see if we can relocate the trail where they've been working and get busy cleaning those up, too. That's going to be a challenge because they've kind of clear-cut those pine plantations and left behind them just a mess of a mat of just timber debris all over the trail. And the trail's not even recognizable anymore because it's just been completely destroyed.
Yeah, I know. She was just telling me yesterday that they relocated a section because of the damage, and then the relocated part got damaged, and now it's something like a 10 or 12 or 13 mile roadblock down a little bit to the south. Well, Sherry is the president. Jan's the secretary. She's the one that sends all the emails and whatnot. So you get emails for the meeting notices and stuff. They come from her, and she's also a ham.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that was the connection there. So I joined that group a couple of years ago, and, I've been doing periodic maintenance work on the trail. And because the Park Service took over the trail last year, we all had to get a bunch of government certifications and permission slips to do the work that that group's been doing for a lot of years.
Yeah, we wanted to do it. If you and never did, you know, we just couldn't find the time, couldn't make the classes work, whatever. If you'd ever attended any of the meetings at the library in Lansing or the community center there in Lansing, we very likely might have been in the same room.
Yeah, I don't remember being at any of those particular meetings. Most of them have been at Sherry's house in the last year or two, and maybe we did one at the lodge there in Lansing. Tim is another guy that's on that group, and he's kind of a member at large, and he puts in most of the work.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, if you're on that mailing list, that's who's sending you the messages. She's been licensed, I don't know. Probably 8-9 years, maybe longer. Got a Kilo Delta 8 called 2x3 call sign, and I told you the story about how I got my extra, right?
I think you said, if I remember one of our past conversations, it was just to outdo her because she was hot on your heels.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So she got her tech, I think, in South Lyon, maybe Ann Arbor, don't remember. And she took the general cold, and she only missed the general by, I think, 2. And I was a general at the time, you know, this is, you know, like I said, 10 years ago, something like that. And she's a pretty quick study on most things. So she took her daughter, her grown daughter, and they went to Disney over Thanksgiving 1 year. And while she was gone, I went and I passed my extra just 'cause. So, and now I don't even rag on her anymore, but she's got to get back and at least get her general, be able to make use of the HF stations laying around.
Mention to her the next time that you think of it that she and I are in the same rarefied air with that association. I see her emails from time to time. Mostly they've been about the group hikes and things like that. I haven't seen a whole lot of general business emails lately because we've just been concentrating on doing trail maintenance as much as we can. We kind of switched some of it over to a text message string, and that seems to get a lot of banter about it.
Yeah, I noticed that. I remember seeing an email about what you want to do with email, and it did, you know, it did kind of slack off after that. But all right, I will do so. I have yours now, so match them up. But we left the house separately today. She went into Petoskey to go shopping, kind of stock up on groceries for our trip, and I was home putzing around, and this client, I called them earlier today, and they didn't call me back, so while she was gone, they called and said, hey, we're home if you want to come by, so I left and just sent a text message that says, hey, I'm leaving, going to EJ. She has a radio in her truck, but seldom, if ever, turns it on. And it's a piece of junk anyway. I don't like it. It was just a temporary thing that stayed temporary. And during the ice storm, she's like, why don't we have a real radio in here? I'm like, because you told me you didn't want one, you know? So the radio that we pulled out of her Traverse when she upgraded to the Tahoe, it's destined to go back in there eventually. I got to do the Mars mod for it first. But it's sitting on my bed. You may have heard me talking about that, too. I've got her 2720 that needs that done, and then I've got my 2730 in the camper that I need done. But one of these days.
I had my buddy do the Mars mod on my 5100, but you know what? I don't use it. I really thought I would use it a lot more, and I haven't. And I'm thinking about putting a 5100 in my truck. That's one of the next things I need to upgrade. And I've got a mag mount with an NMO mount on it that I've been using just the quarter wave because that's what I can get in and out of my garage with. And I've got a half wave that I can screw onto it for a little bit longer range. But, yeah, that's one of my upcoming upgrades is the rig in my truck.
Owned or leased, and how old?
Didn't catch all of your transmission there. I was getting a station identification that came through. Were you asking, is my truck owned or leased, and how old it is?
Correct.
21 Toyota 4Runner, and it is owned.
Have I mentioned to you that I own a Holza?
Well, I've got enough Northern Michigan pinstriping on that vehicle now where I may be brave enough to drill a hole, but I don't really necessarily see a need for it. It's a hatchback, so I can run the cable through the inside of the vehicle, out through the hatchback, and I've got a mag mount that's in a pretty good spot.
Well, again, you may think it works well, and it may work well, but it will never work as well as a permanent mount. You'll never get as good a ground. You'll never get as much noise suppression. You'll never get more omnidirectional performance. Depends whether you have a sunroof or not, but the trick is you can normally do those without pulling the headliner. You just pop the dome light. If you have a center dome light, you just pop the dome light. Or, like I did in my other pickup, is you pop the third brake light from the outside, and you just go in there as far as you can reach. It's, there's just no comparison, you know. I mean, real hams drill holes, and end of discussion.
Well, I also have a pretty good-sized roof rack on my truck, too, that I like to occasionally throw some things on top of. So that's another consideration about mounting an antenna for me.
That's not even an excuse anymore, because you can get the flat ones, you know, the film can antennas. They work better than nothing, but, you know, you don't have to abandon the mount just because, you know, I've had hole mounts in just about every vehicle I've ever owned, and, I mean, we have roof racks and carry the canoes or the kayaks or whatever, and if I need to take the whip off, I can put the film can antenna on. And they're normally okay for the repeaters, you know, they're not very good for range, but, you know, you can rig up a mount on those rails, too, on the rack itself, but, again, won't work as well. Won't be as omnidirectional. Or the hatchback mounts don't work bad either, you know, the ones that you actually mount on the hatch. But, and, you know, you can put a quarter wave on those. But again, you know, I mean, the nice thing, the quarter waves in the roof mounts on the pickups, I don't even take them off the car wash. They go right through the car wash and they come out at about a 45-degree angle and I just go stand them back up till next time.
Those lip mounts on my hatch too, but I just didn't like the way that it stuck out and was a snag point for car wash and things like that. So yeah, I just went back to a real big sturdy mag mount. I can't remember what brand it is, but it is heavy frickin' duty, and I've been pretty happy with it. I get a good SWR on it from my testing with my SWR meter, and it's been, shall we say, adequate, but I guess maybe I don't know what I'm missing either.
Well, I got a lot of objections to mag mounts. I mean, I'm using one at the moment, but, you know, I do object to them in a semi-permanent setting. You know, they're known for scratching paint, and, you know, you get grit under them, and they're just a pain. And then the cable always gets pinched in the door, pinched in the hatch, you know. There's just no getting around the convenience of a permanent mount with concealed wiring, both for the power and for the antenna. Maybe an external speaker under the dash somewhere or hidden someplace that's pointed at the driver, you know. That's a big advantage to using a mobile instead of using an HT. Although, I mean, I've done some pretty cool HT installations, type accepted equipment and converticoms and stuff. I kind of thought about doing that in here for a minute, but the problem is those things are single band. You know, I mean, you can get a converticom with a PA in it that's, you know, give you 30, 40 watts, but it's one band at a time. And I travel so much. You know, I'm too dependent on UHF. Even though there's very little UHF around here, but there's more. And, you know, there's one more repeater now than there was a month ago. And, you know, you got the digital considerations now, too.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll hit you up one of these days and talk about that a little bit more and see if there's a better solution. The rig I'm running now is just, it's not ideal. I do want to upgrade it and replace it. You know, get the head unit under the seat and the you know, the faceplate mounted somewhere where it's easy to see and manipulate with the touch screen and able to pop off and tuck away somewhere when the car's left in some location. And probably the external speaker, obviously, to get a little bit better hearing when I'm on the road. But haven't gone down that road completely yet. It's on the to-do list.
Yeah, you would be surprised. Even the non-amplified external speaker make a lot of difference, lots and lots of difference. And then, you know, if you really want to get carried away, you get the Motorola amplified ones. They'll blow you out of a car and use a thing like a PA speaker. I used to run those things when I go to the air shows, put it on the roof of the car, the field controller, the air boss, or the Angels, or the Thunderbirds, or whatever I was kind of listening to. That was kind of fun when the kid was little.
The 2730, I'm kind of up in the air between the 2730 and the 5100. I've got the 5100 as my base station that I'm speaking to you on now, but I do like that 2730 with the black screen. That might be a compelling option that I might consider.
Well, that's what I have in the camper, only the normal one, not the blackout one. They charge you, I think it's $30 more for the blackout one. But, you know, and I'm not crazy about digital. I'm not on it all that much, but it sure is nice to have, you know. And the problem is where we go all the way back to the VHS beta discussions, you know, because there's no standard. It's by area, by state, almost service type, you know. A lot of the Aries Racies group got some money after 9/11 and did some D-Star stuff, but very little of it up here. It's some of the mixed mode repeaters, whatever you get in goes out, you know. You got the hotspot stuff, but I would, if I had my druthers, and I mean, I've got the capability of dual band fusion. I own two dual band fusion mobiles, a 400 and a 7630 or 7230, 7250, whatever. Looks just like the 3200, but it's dual band. But I would rather have turbo. You know, I would rather have DMR in the car. I think it's more in more wider use in more areas. But, you know, there's been talk and threats throughout the years. Companies like Bridgecom coming up with a universal radio that does all the digital modes. I'm like, yeah, don't hold your breath.
Like, super enamored with the D-Star, but I do like the ICOM radio. Really impressed with its quality and its performance. And I, you know, for no other reason but to have the familiarity of the same unit that I have as my base station to have in my mobile, I think that's a great idea. And to have 50 real watts, that would be pretty cool too. So I don't know, I'm waffling. But I hear you. Been playing with the DMR HT and a hotspot that I built, and that's been kind of fun. And it would be nice to have that capability when I'm mobile, but not a deal breaker. So I don't know.
Well, you know, you've got RF coverage on DMR. You don't even need the hotspot, especially now with you know, the levering sight. But and I have DMR coverage with the Sheboygan sight. So a lot of that stuff, what they've done is they have just duplicated the downstate stuff, you know. The whatever frequency, whatever pair we were using downstate, they've just duplicated it somewhere up here. So I was hoping to be able to get the car washed. That's not happening.
Yeah, try as I might, I cannot get into that that levering tower from my location. I haven't wandered up north of town to see where I might be able to pick it up, but obviously I've got the Petoskey DMR tower that I can hit over here. So that's been tested and proven.
Well, I I would venture to say that that's a setting. I can't imagine that thing not working where you live. Unless you just happen to be in a lobe or something, you know, in a dead spot. It's possible. But apparently they're medevacing somebody off of Mackinac Island. That's a chatter in the background. But, and it's 75 here in Petoskey. Probably still be colder at home. But, I'm bummed because I'm going to be camping the weekend of the, and I think you said you were gone too, the weekend of the West Branch Slop, which is the 13th.
I'm going to be gone the following weekend, the 20th. I got to head down to Ohio for a training event, but no, I wasn't aware of the 13th. Is that a pretty good event to attend?
Well, I've never been to it, but one of my buddies is sort of in charge of it, and that West Branch 9-4 repeater group, they've got, they've also got the Rose City on, I think it's 3-1, or maybe it's, I'm not sure if it's 3-1 or 1-1, I think it's 3-1. So, again, I have no first-hand experience, but I've been wanting to go, and it's just not worked out, and it's not going to work out this either. And then that following week, you said, you know, the one where you're gone, that's the Gaylord Slop.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was one that I really wanted to try to get to, but it's not going to work for me this year, unfortunately.
Well, and I think also that 13th, if that's Saturday, which I think it is, I think Finley's that day as well, and that's a really good one, but, you know, that's 8 hours away. It's nowhere near as practical as it was when I lived downstate.
Yeah, I'm not driving 8 hours for a radio show. I'm going to drive 8 hours for a gun show, but not a radio show.
Well, sometimes you get lucky and can do both. Finley's big enough. I've been enough times. Finley's big enough to, if I had just one other excuse, you know, like spending the night at my daughter's or something, you know, that'd definitely be worth it and make it worth it. The Dayton whole deal, you know, Dayton now is in, yeah, that's worth the drive.
City, I think that's usually sometime in February. I'm going to definitely try to make that one.
Dayton, Xenia? No, that's May. The second or third weekend in May.
Be in February.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. You know, there tends to be more slops in winter. I don't know why that is. You'd think it'd be the opposite. But in Michigan, the ones in Michigan are just dying out. You know, the Kalamazoo's kind of okay. The Livonia was pretty good this year. Traverse City's really small. Newberry's really small. There have been a couple others that we've traveled to. And again, you know, if that's the only reason you're going, yeah, probably not. Even a purist like me, it just doesn't make economic sense.
Yeah, gotcha. What is it usually? Is it kind of like a gun show where there's a whole bunch of stuff for sale, some of it good, lots of it junk, or is there, I don't know, tech seminars or information to be gathered about what's going on and things like that?
You know, it depends. They all have their own kind of flavor. Dayton Xenia is probably the biggest in the country. Sometimes it's even the biggest in the world, but CPAC in Seattle's pretty big. The Japanese ones, the German ones, sometimes those are bigger. Xenia's been setting records the last 2 years in a row. They set attendance records in the 30,000s, low 30,000s. I think it was, and again, I'm not, you know, this is just from memory, I think last year was 32 or 33,000. I think this year might have been 36. And a Hamcation in Orlando is pretty big too. That's the one that maybe you're talking about. That's the end of February, beginning of March. And we went to that last year as well. But again, you know, we had other reasons. The Jan's son is lives in Tampa, so she went to go see the grandchild while we went and slopped.
Cool. My daughter's moving to Tampa next month, so that might be worth a trip to visit her. Xenia Dayton kind of sparked a little bit of interest if it's that good. I haven't been to the Air Force Museum in a while. It might be worth picking up my dad on the way and dragging him down there.
Yeah, as long as he's, you know, fairly mobile. I mean, you know, there's a swap in Tampa coming up in December, too. It's a one-dayer, but we had even looked at that. It's so typical. We have a companion airline ticket that we got to use, but it expires in November, so we got to figure out something to do with it before it expires. We've already lost one to expiration. And, you know, that Tampa thing, it's one day. It's just half a day. It's certainly not worth the trip. But the Hamcation, you know, you're only, what, an hour to Orlando from Tampa. So it was definitely worth going. It was a little weird. They've been in that same location there. They're at the Orlando Fairgrounds. They've been in that location for 20 years or 25 years or something like that. And they do some stupid stuff, but, you know, part of it is really good. The interior part of it's really good. And back to your earlier question, you know, yeah, some of them are very much like gun shows where they're 75% other people's junk. But many of them have dealers, new equipment dealers from part of the country, all of the country. Hamcation and Dayton Xenia will have vendors from all over the world, literally. A lot of European, Japanese manufacturers there displaying stuff. There's an Italian power company that tends to make an appearance at these bigger shows. So, definitely worth going at least once or twice, you know. You can't really understand it until you experience it yourself.
Yeah, good to know. Might put it on my bucket list one of these days.
I have another story about a buddy of mine that was a Motorola employee, not the same time I was there, but well before. Long-time ham, licensed in the 50s. An original 1x3 call sign with a K, not a W. And he'd always talked about going to Dayton. And, you know, he got older and retired and got sick. And he got out of the hospital one year just a few days before we were leaving for Dayton. And I tried my best to talk him into going. And I think he would have gone except for his paranoid wife. And he didn't make that Dayton. And he didn't have the opportunity to make any more. So, and I to this day, I'm sort of kicking myself like I really should have been more forceful.
Yeah, should have broken him out and taken him anyway. Might have been one of his last big hurrahs.
No, you know, it works. They don't want to go, you can't stop them. So, anyway, all right, Bentley, I'm going to let you run. I'm on my final leg here. I didn't even make a stop in Petoskey, didn't make a stop in Lansing, and now I'm starting to get close to home, so the only good news is I got paid and I got mileage, but other than that, I didn't really accomplish anything other than making a customer happy. So, all right, well, I'll see you down the road. I have a feeling that I will be able to hit the 7-4 from the campgrounds up in the UP, so we'll have to check and see, but we'll talk to you later, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. I got stuff to do when I get home that I should have got done before I left, but you know how that works out. or doesn't work out. But anyhow, I will point out to Jan that you now are on the air, so I'm sure she'll recognize your name and your email. See you later, listening for a final 73 from Southern Sheboygan County, W8RPM.
Drive home today, Ron. Always a pleasure. 73's KF8DNF.
KE8DAD.
KF8DNF. Good afternoon, Chris. How's it going, brother?
Going really well. Hope your day is going well also. Sorry I didn't catch you earlier in the day. The kids were over and the grandbaby was over and they didn't leave till about 3:30, so I had a busy day, but other, it was a good day.
And those are all good reasons, and there will be another day. And as it turned out today, spent the day with Christy. We did a typical Sunday fun day, and I'm just relaxing on the front porch right now, enjoying this outstanding weather.
Yeah, we really couldn't ask for a better end to the summer, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. And it's my favorite time of year on the horizon here.
Yeah, I'll echo that. The fall is definitely my favorite time of the year. It's nothing like it, especially up here. It's just beautiful and a lot of things to do and get out and be done, and it's a shame when people don't get out to enjoy it.
Yeah, I started my morning today in the darkness hours dispatching another skunk, so yeah, looking forward to trimming down that population around my house here.
Ah, skunks. Yeah, we haven't had a problem with those for a while. We, one dog we used to have, I can't ever believe how quick he was. He would get to a skunk and kill it before it sprayed. And he dispatched, I think, 7 of them over the course of his lifetime. It was a pretty amazing dog.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of breed a skunk hound is, but dang, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, ever since my little bird dog died a couple years ago, we've got quite a few more critters out and about, and I think I had a couple of these skunks denned up under my deck. So it's been all-out war around here. I've got 2 so far.
Well, you're in kind of a bad spot, too. You can't just get out there and dispatch them with a pew-pew either, really.
Oh, but I did. That's why they make suppressors for 22 caliber firearms.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, the kids were good to see the granddaughter. It's, I didn't ever realize how fun that would be, but she's a blast.
So, man, how old is she now?
Just a hair over 10 months.
Wow, that's really great, man. Congratulations on your family expanding that way. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, they didn't think it was going to happen, actually. They just didn't seem like they were going to want to have kids for the longest time. And then one day out of the blue, they just decided. So good, I think.
Well, maybe they realize that if they wait till they're ready, they'll never be ready.
Isn't that the truth for so many things, not just having children, but most things in life? If you wait till you can afford it or are ready to do it, it never seems to happen for you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, I meant to tell you the last couple of times we've caught each other on the air here, I don't know what you're doing with your antenna setup and your radio setup, but, man, you are coming through fantastic and sounding really, really good.
I was actually going to ask how I was sounding because I've been playing a little bit with my mic gain, and last time I did that a while ago on another radio, I really screwed it up, so I was glad to hear it. Thank you for the report.
Did you ever get that new mask up on your building there, or are you still just playing with the tripod mount on the ground?
Nope, I got the mast up, and I actually added an extra 5 feet to it, so it's 28 feet in air, and I'm running a Comet, what the heck is it, it's an X30A antenna on there, and yeah, it seems to be doing really well. When I put it up, I actually bought some good cable from DX Engineering, their LMR 400 equivalent, and ran all that in, and so I did some good stuff this time, so it seems to be paying off.
Yeah, I'd say don't tweak it anymore. It's working great for you.
Yeah, because I'm coming in with just 5 watts.
You know, I bumped mine from low power to medium power, from 5 to 15. I was getting some signal reports that weren't too great, and I haven't had any issues since then, but I don't know, maybe it was a fluke. I should be able to hit the 1.9 there on 5 watts easily, but yeah, 15 is not too bad either.
No, you sound really good. Like I said, you're on your crossband right now, if I'm hearing correctly, just because, like we talked before, it sounds a little bit more of a, I don't want to say, kind of a pleasant tone with your signal.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm just holding on to an HT that's crossband on the base unit down in my shack, and that seems to be where it sits all the time now.
Yeah, I really am impressed with the tone quality that you have when you're on the crossband repeater. It's just, I don't know how else to explain it other than it's just a very pleasant experience listening to your transmissions.
Versus using the microphone on the radio itself, you throw a really cheap HT in between. How does it sound any better? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And unless it's like a something with there's a little more filtering involved in the signal or something, I don't know. Some of it's all just PFM sometimes.
Radio sorcery.
Hey, I watched a little video the other day that I think I'm going to send to you that you might find interesting, but it was on propagation and different, they dealt mainly with HF, but different, they really explained the different levels of propagation really, really well. I don't know, it was like 15, 20 minutes long, but it was super informative, I thought, and I'll send you a link to that. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll give it a watch. That sounds interesting. More knowledge is better.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, I was thinking here the other day, something that might be interesting to do if you would be up for it a little bit, that maybe when you get back from your trips and whatnot, we should sit down and think about doing a weekend get together, but kind of have it where, you know, some of the people that are in your group, they want to join into it to just kind of get involved with radio a little bit more. I got a couple people that are kind of wanting to do it, and not that, you know, I'm any big expert or anything like that, but you know, we can impart some of the knowledge and experiences we've had with radio onto them, and maybe kind of boost them along a little bit. If that's something that maybe you think you'd be up for.
Yeah, for sure. I think that'd be a great idea. Maybe turn it into a little mini field day too, and we could do some testing from different mobile locations and different jungle antennas and things like that, and just kind of illustrate how we might be able to use this form of communication.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I was thinking a lot about the, you know, number of people in your group that, you know, are interested in it but not really wanting to dive into it, and if they see it and put their hands on it, it might spur them along to dive into it a little bit more.
Yeah, or at least get them motivated to turn their radios on.
that would definitely be a good first step.
Hey, have you talked to our friend Josh lately?
Actually, I did. Just today, as a matter of fact. He's going to come up tomorrow, and we're going to have a little woodcutting bee and try and knock some stuff out in the morning. So, yeah, I'll see him. He's been studying. I think he's just about ready to sit down and schedule his test and get that taken care of. So that would be nice to have him on these bands as well.
Wish him well for me, and tell him that I'm looking forward to hearing him on the 2-meter band. He should definitely have no issues getting in here on the 1-9 from his location. I was down in Elmira earlier in the week, well, last week now, and I hit the 1-9 in Petoskey with a 5-wide HT from Elmira. That's pretty good reach.
Yeah, it is. I know we went down yesterday to Gaylor to pick up our lawnmower from the dealer, and my mobile rig in the truck, and granted that's probably putting out 15 watts, but I was able to hit the 1-9 double way.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know if you heard me speaking with Ron there a few minutes ago, W8RPM, but he was saying that's really not that impressive, given the height of the towers and the capability of 2-meter VHF. So, yeah, really, really glad that we made this switch over and got onto these bands. This is proving to be a lot more capable.
Yeah, I did catch some of your conversation there, and I realize that, you know, like Dell says that it's not all that impressive either, but I don't know. I still think it is. It's kind of neat to me, and I'm glad that you got your license and whatnot, and gives me somebody to talk to and whatnot. It's good.
Erickson, I wonder if his situation with the geographic challenges between the two of you, if that would be overcome if he were actually able to make that jump.
Yeah, I think if he were to sit down and you know, get his license and whatnot, I think it would, because I don't see where he would have a problem hitting the Sheboygan repeater. What is that? That's the 7-4. From his location, or even the what's the one up in Mackinac, the 110, the W8 AGB. He should be able to hit both those from his location pretty easily, I would think.
Yeah, and the fact that they're all linked together makes that elementary. So, hopefully that's something that might interest him.
Yep, he's just young, and he's got so many irons in the fire. I prod him every now and then, but I don't want to be too pushy about it.
Well, I think he's old enough to be beyond the age of knowing everything, but, he's got his own agenda and his own things going on, that's for sure.
Hello there, fellas. WGAW Rod here on 7-4.
Hey, good afternoon, Rod. KF8ENF, my name's Bentley. I'm on the Harbor Springs. I'm in Harbor Springs on the Petoskey 1-9.
This is K8GAT. My name's Chris here, and I'm in Brutus, and I'm on the 1-9 also.
You're coming in full quiet in on your link. You're on. You'll be full quiet in everywhere, right? Anyhow, I just heard you guys talking. I wanted to wave a hand there. I'm headed over to Harbor Springs right now to pick up my grandson and his pal, and they're going to be walking the Mackinac Bridge with me tomorrow morning.
Well, that'd be a good way to start out your morning.
Well, I'll leave the other fellow out there. Who's the other station? My name's Rod. I'm in Indian River. My call is Whiskey Golf 8 Whiskey.
It's Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Alpha Tango. My name is Chris, and I'm in Brutus.
Oh, Chris. Hey, in Brutus. Okay, cool. Yeah, my sister used to live there in Brutus, but they moved to Pelston, so. But, I know right where you're at there in Brutus. Are you right in town, or are you up on Brutus Road somewhere?
I'm up on Brutus Road on top of the hill there. I joke that I have a Brutus phone number, a Lance, an address. I'm in Pelston School District, so I really don't know where I live, actually.
My sister told me that same thing when they were in Brutus. They were up the Brutus Road, up the top of the hill, there's that subdivision in there. They were living in there, the first house, well, the second house on the right when they pulled in there, up on that hill. And, well, they sold that place because it was just too much for her, so they moved into Pelson. But, yeah, that Brutus area is pretty cool. I like it there. I live right here in Indian River. I'm back out in the woods. I'm 4 miles out of town. But, you know, we're headed over that way to Harbor Springs there and pick up my grandson. So, okay, I'll let you guys get back to your conversation. Thanks for picking up there and saying howdy, and you guys have a wonderful day. This is the Mackinac Bridge Walk. Tomorrow is the 45th time for me.
Wow, Rob, that's fantastic, man. Keep doing it as long as you can, and pretty cool that you're passing that tradition on to your grandson. Hope you guys have a great day tomorrow. The weather looks like it's going to be fantastic, and great meeting you on the air here, and I'll say 73 KF8 ENF.
That's going to be great weather for tomorrow. Nice day, just like today. It's going to be but after that, it's going to cool down. But, all right, I'm going to get off of here and let you guys continue with the conversation. And 73, this is WGNW Mobile, and I'll be standing by.
Well, that brings up an interesting question, Bentley. Have you ever walked the bridge?
Negative. Too many people for me.
Hey, man, I'm in the same boat with you. Too many people.
Yeah, there's not many things that I like to do with thousands of my closest friends.
That is a fact. I like the way you put that.
It might be cool to do just once. I've often driven over the top of that thing wondering what it would be like to look down over the side.
Yep, I have too, but that's about as far as my desire has ever gone with it. Never really been my shtick, I don't think.
What do you got going on tomorrow, Chris? Are you you busy doing some other family stuff? I think you said maybe in the morning you and Josh were going to get together.
Yeah, he's coming up, I guess, about 8, and we're going to cut wood, and he's going to help me process some wood, and I'm probably going to go down and help him process the rest of his wood afterwards, get all that done for the year, get that chore behind us so we can focus on more fun things.
That's great. You tell him that I said hello, and looking forward to catching up with him one of these days.
I will for sure do that. You, what do you got planned for tomorrow?
Actually, no plans. I was going to hit Christy up to see if she wanted to get out and do something tomorrow. We might go for a hike tomorrow. Location TBD.
Now, I don't know if the trails are clear and what the situation is with them, but have you ever hiked Colonial Point up here by Maple Bay?
No, I haven't. Tell me a little bit more about that.
You know, it's not real rough terrain, but it's a pretty hike through the woods. If you get on East Brutus Road, like you're going to Maple Bay, keep going up. If you know where the Porch of Flavors are, there's a little parking area right there for the bike path. You can take that down to another road. I can't remember the name of the road, forgive me. But just down there is where the trailhead connects in. And you can go, they have different legs of it. You know, I'm sure you're used to it with the type of trails you go on, but you know, you can do a 2-mile route or a 5-mile route or whatever through there, and it's just a lot of it's just some old virgin forest, which is pretty neat to see.
Is that one of the nature preserves that the Little Traverse Conservancy runs?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Like I say, we went on it last year, but yet I haven't been on it this year at all, so I don't know, you know, what shape any of that's in. I would imagine there's some parts of it that are pretty rough still.
All right, yeah, we might check into that. Thanks for the tip.
That, and I'll find out more information on this next one for you if you're interested. But out at the biological station, there's a lot of miles of hiking trails out there that you can go on that's, you know, run by UMBS. And it's pretty interesting to go through. Same thing, there's a lot of virgin timber out there that you walk through, and all that stuff is pretty much untouched just because nobody's allowed to do anything with it as far as harvesting wood or going in and doing any of that sort of stuff.
Interesting. We actually did a hike on one of the trails nearby there. If you go up to, boy, I can't even remember what road that is, but it's the road that comes out of Pelston and goes toward Sheboygan, past the DLB, and there's on the south side of that road, there is where the bike path starts, the bike path that goes to nowhere. There's a little parking area there, and there's a hiking trail through there that we've hiked before, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, if it's the same spot I'm thinking of, that goes down to, they call it the gorge, and it's, I don't know, it's 300 some steps down into, you know, that deep gorge, and the hiking trails go through there. Yeah, that's a pretty nice run, trail in through there too.
Pretty cool little spot.
Yeah, you definitely get your stair workout and when you go to that place, that's for sure.
Well, I will probably be on the air at some point tomorrow, so maybe we'll catch up then a little bit more. But anyway, have fun tomorrow. Be safe. Tell Joshy I said hi. And we will catch you a little bit later. KF8 ENF.
All right, my friend. Always a pleasure talking to you. Enjoy it immensely. You guys have a great day, great evening and a great day tomorrow. And I'll probably talk to you tomorrow. So. K8GAT. Clear.
I don't know what happened, but I something out of fish slip frequency. Yeah, WGAW out.
FIK, Tom and Trevor City. Good evening. FIK.
WAVPC testing.
Echoing, this is KE8 QMP listening.